Lincoln Inspired is more than just an arts festival, more than a literary festival, more than a whole set of lifestyle opportunities, and more than what the world has needed for millennia.
Indeed. Welcome to Inspired On Air. It's the third Wednesday in the month, so it is Inspired On Air with a whole heap of other goodies, referring to Lincoln Performing Arts Centre, referring to a fabulous event that's taking place this very weekend at the University of Lincoln Minerva Building, raising funds for children's brain tumour research, all this and more, and hopefully Michael Blackburn, if he can find his way to the studio. Have thought that it was 25 years since Cream was funking in all sorts of wonderful ways. Yes, I did say funking. Just as Michael Blackburn, that wonderful 90s extravaganza of individual humanity, has joined us in the studio. I trust, Michael, you've actually brought some construction work or some construction poetry to actually help with our added noises off today.
Constructivist late 70s Bauhaus.
Deconstruction, it's what the world was made for. Fortunately, Seb Fontaine was with us before we actually got to that stage. He's talking about a grand Cream extravaganza. In case you're wondering, nothing to do with Eric Clapton, Michael. I know you were keen to actually say that. No,
I was really gendered.
This is Cream, the actual house music scenario. House music, building, it's all there.
Thank you.
Now, it's clearly a case of becoming more experientially enhanced when you realise that it's 25 years, a quarter of a century, since Cream actually was doing a whole range of DJ materials of the 90s, were with us in force, and, oh, just nostalgia. It's not what it used to be. We're delighted to actually address this, and indeed why 90s tracks are so popular, and what's happening in a very, very famous part of the world in the very near future to actually celebrate these 90s culture, etc. It is the legend, the awesomeness that is Seb Fontaine. How are you, Seb?
Good, how are you? You well?
I'm delighted to touch base with a good self, Seb. And what can I say? The 90s music continues well into the teenies and probably beyond in the 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, everyone talked about dance music back, you know, mid-80s, and were saying it's a fad, you know, you've got a couple of years at the best. And here we are. We're still all very, you know, it's even the new stuff's borrowing from the older stuff. And, you know, the best thing about some of these revival shows are there's a lot of young people there that, you know, they really, really love the music.
I kind of recall back in the 80s, there was a kind of 60s revival. And actually at the start of the century, people were saying, oh, it's all about the 80s. Is it kind of 20-year cycles that we go into when we start talking about
this? Maybe, because I remember going to 70s parties, so probably.
Well, there you go. But as I said, 25th anniversary of Cream. This is going to be marked with a special weekender at Butlin's Minehead between the 1st and the 3rd of December. You'll be there, Seb. And, I mean, just looking at the list that we've actually got, yeah. Paul Oakenfield, Paul Van Dyke, Alex P, Alistair Witt, Whitehead, Brandon Block, Chicane, Darren Emerson. I mean, there's so much awesomeness there. It's amazing. It's almost like singularity is going to be reached. You're going to get that Minehead, you know, we'll be transcendental here.
Well, the thing is, I do quite a few things with the Butlins. I was there with Roger Sanchez, and Murillo's also there as well, but I was there with Roger Sanchez recently, and it was fantastic. The clubs are amazing. The sound systems are brilliant. I was in this amazing chalet just over this little lake. I mean, it's a far cry. You know, it's a really wonderful resort. It's not like the Butlins that you might think, you know, back in, you know, we're seeing, I used to see adverts on telly and plead with my parents to take me there. And it's just fantastic. And when I look at that, you know, the list of DJs, the best thing about this, I think all the DJs are so looking forward to this as much as anyone who's bought a ticket. I think this is going to be something truly special.
Mm. I mean, Seb, I recall the notion where the 90s really was the time where probably the DJ really became a celebrity in their own right. I mean, prior to that, you had the classic line, got any quo, and so on, that was often uttered, and yeah, you sort of worked through that. Was this a case of where DJ as creator, not just as mixer, but somebody would actually set the scene, set the ambience, the whole notion of rave culture and the notion, was this kind of something which was inevitable it was going to happen?
Yeah, I think it's really important as a DJ to tell a bit of a story. You've got to start, you know, there's a start, middle and an end. And I think, you know, if you get it wrong, you've really got your work cut out. And so I think the DJ did become a creator. The DJ really started to tell his own story. And that's why so many of them got so big. Mm. And the best thing about this Butlins, you've got so many of the big ones all in one place.
Well, as we know, God is a DJ. Sorry, I couldn't resist it, so it's just a line from that. Now, in terms of the notion of dance and electronic music and so on, there's still a domination across the whole thing. I mean, you know, you have your Calvin Harris, so you have a whole range of other factors. Is it just because people ultimately like a good rhythm and a good beat that they actually say, yeah, this is a good one, let's go with it?
I think, look, the one thing, you know, music has changed. I mean, we say dance music's still there. It's obviously evolved. It's gone in many different directions. It's gone commercial and it's gone more underground. It's gone every way. But one thing that doesn't change is the atmosphere of one of these big festivals or one of these big events. And, you know, I've got a 19-year-old son who's coming in at 4 in the morning now, just like I used to. In fact, he got really upset that I got in later than him the other day. But it's very much the atmosphere at these things is an absolute, you know, that doesn't change in dance music. When you see a place go off, when you see a DJ play the right tune at the right time, and when the drop down comes, it just goes nuts. And I think that still puts hairs on the back of my neck, and it still, you know, makes my, it gives me goosebumps, and that will never change.
Occasional times, sir, I tend to feel nostalgic for the likes of Jive Bunny and his master mixers to come back. Do you think there's any place for Jive Bunny in the current world, or is it a case of, no, I'm sorry, Jive Bunny will have to step to one side?
I really hope there's no more Jive Bunny.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you probably feel the same way as I used to do about Black Lace and Agadoo. You know, there's certain things you don't want to do and go there. But that experience of actually sort of having thousands of partygoers in front of you from that point of view, is it a kind of, is it like being, you know, scoring the goal at Wembley that actually wins the cup final? Is it that equivalent feeling for yourself as a presenter?
Yeah, I think it is. You know, when you walk on stage and when you hear that roar, I mean, I was quite lucky for a few years. I played the music at Twickenham Stadium for the England matches. Yeah. And so when you've got 80,000 people there and you play the record or, you know, when a try is scored and everyone just goes nuts, it's great. I you know, it's, for me, there's no better job in the world.
And when we start talking about Cream and Cream Fields and so on, and clearly people should not be confusing Cream with the Eric Clapton Cream, completely different brand, completely different line of things from that point of view. It can happen, you know. But how important are they in a contemporary setting, Seb, to this whole notion of continuing the development and evolution of dance music?
Well, look, as much as Cream has got this wonderful Weekender on that has, you know, it's certainly a nod back to its history, you know, Cream has also got some fantastic shows with some of the hottest people at the moment. And when you take Creamfields and they marry everything together and you've got some of the biggest current dance acts on the planet married together with some of the biggest DJs that helped, who were the pioneers of this whole scene, I think you've got one of the best festivals in the world.
As we said, 40 of the top DJs within the dance music scene will actually be there. How can people find out more information about this? I appreciate people say, hey, we're already cool, we're on it, we're on our Snapchat, we're on our other bits and pieces, it's already out on social media. But just in case somebody's
easiest
old
way,
school. You know,
easiest way, yeah. Butlin's website, all their weekends are there. They do some great weekenders, you know, so these 80s, 90s, but this one is really, really special. So get on the website. I'm sure there's still some amazing chalets, you know, if you look hard. I mean, it really is a great place.
I'd still love to set you the challenge, sir, of actually going into a dance set with, come on, everybody, come on, everybody. It's just a thought, though.
I'll tell you what, I'll pack it, and we'll see you on the night.
It's a thought. Two final questions. Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today? Has it been okay for you?
Yes.
Marvellous, in which case hopefully we can connect with you again in the not distant future. Will you join us again to keep us appraised of dance music and so on? And I promise, no Jive Bunny references whatsoever.
Whenever you need me, I'll be there.
Hey!
Yo, VIP, let's kick it. Collaborate and listen. Ice is back with my brand new invention. Something grabs a hold of me tightly. Flow like a harpoon daily and nightly.
Will it ever stop?
Yo, I don't know. Turn off the lights and I'll glow. To the extreme, I rock a mic like a vandal. Light up a stage and wax a chump like a candle. Dance. Crush a speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it. You better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. I'm on a roll, it's time to go solo. Rollin', hit my 5.0, put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girlie's on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove, I kept on, pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A.
Eastbound Avenue!
Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men lovers, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the 9. Ready for the
chumps on the wall. The chumps acting ill because they're full of eight ball. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells falling on the concrete real fast.
Jumped in my car. I feel as though I'm back in the 90s all over again. 1890s, that is. Ice Baby after the Cream Celebration. Lincoln Performing Arts Centre continues with all manner of wondrous things, including two Christmas event attitudes and programmes. Attitudes? We have the Winter Whale between Friday the 15th and Sunday the 31st of December. Once upon a time, in the lands far to the north of here, where the snow still falls deep in winter, a little girl and little boy were lost at sea. Very much Ice Baby. See what we did there? Yeah, there's construction being put together, both metaphorically and metaphysically. And don't forget the fabulous Adventures of Robin Hood and Maid Marian, Winter in Sherwood, between the 11th and the 24th of December. Tickets are still available, but they're going fast. £15 for a full ticket, £10 for a child, family ticket of £45 for four people with a maximum of two adults, so well worth accessing. It's winter in Sherwood and snow covers the greenwood. It's a time of magic and adventure. The boy King Henry III rules in England in civil war, and the Sheriff of Nottingham, who sees a chance to seize control. The people need a hero, but who will step forward and fight for them? Join Robin Hood and Maid Marian on this rip-roaring quest, suitable for families and children aged 6 up. So will you be there, Michael?
I think I might go this one and this, but I've seen plenty of
Robin Hood-y
things.
I was Robin Hood in the 90s.
Were you?
In school pantomime. Slapping the thigh.
Yes. Were you wearing kind of very tight green stuff?
Oh, please. Personal fantasies, even on Inspired On Air, have to be kept to the minimum. Michael, there's a grand event taking place with our very own Ed Wellman and Sue Royce and Ryan Jones in aid of builders around the world. Sorry. Would you like to share with us this grand event and how people can actually support this very worthy cause?
Yes, this is help to raise funds for Children's Brain Tumour Research Centre. It's called the New Moon Celebration. And this will be taking place in the Minerva Building here at the University on Saturday the 18th of November. And if you want to contribute to that, give £5
exactly.
or more, you should text and write this down, CBTR48, £5, and the number is 70070.
And we will repeat that before the end of the programme. Or you could always simply play back the podcast. Anyway, Visage, Mind of a Toy. Great stuff. Regifting, Michael. How are you fixed for regifting? Are you a regifter? Insofar as...
What is this concept?
It's 21st century. Regifting on Inspired On Air. On Siren Radio. Regifting is the notion of when you receive a present and actually it's not really what you're looking for, so effectively you either put it on eBay or you put it something else. It's the difficulty of actually choosing the right gift for the right person. I always used to say it's the thoughts that count, surely.
Yes, but in which case you just say, write your thoughts down and give them to me.
Yeah.
But no, I've never regifted. I've always received something I wanted or I could do with. No, it's... well, I'm sure... I mean, I know there's all those stories about people getting knitted jumpers from their beloved grandmother that... featured bees and things which they couldn't possibly wear, but I can see why people would do it.
Well, we have consumer champion and business person extraordinaire Claire Bailey sharing some thoughts about regifting after something from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Now, are you familiar with Crazy Ex-Girlfriend?
I'd rather not speak about her.
It's a great series currently into its third season as far as the United States is concerned, with a whole variety of other producers. This is from the original soundtrack of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend Season 1. A little bit of musicality, I feel, for Inspired On Air. I'm sure Sarah Bullimore, the founder, would appreciate this if she wasn't in a meeting somewhere in Lincolnshire sorting out different sort of elements of lights, that stuff, etc. Face your fears.
I used to be afraid of so much in this world. I'd tiptoe through each day like some frightened little girl. Then one day I realized I can't just run and hide from life. Now if someone pulls a gun on me, I pull out my knife.
I don't follow.
Sit on my lap like I'm Santa and listen to me.
Face your fears, stare them down. Don't be scared, stand your ground. 'Cause nothing is as scary as it appears. All you gotta do is face your fears. If a bear runs at you in the woods, don't run away. Look it deep in the eyes, put your hand on its chest and say, "Bear, I'm not afraid." If you're in a burning building and smoke is everywhere, keep calm, take a deep breath and stay right there. Face your fears, run with scissors, 'cause you can fly, yes you can fly. Face your fears, 'cause the children are the future. Face your fears,
face your fears.
Follow your dreams,
follow your dreams.
Stare at the sun,
stare at the sun.
Play in the street,
a busy street.
If you're scared,
join the Marines,
swim right out.
face my fears?
Let's face your
fears. I got it.
Say that it's the thought that actually counts when it comes to gift giving and so on. But when it comes to re-gifting, and as we head up to the festive season, a recent survey commissioned by Amazon.co.uk has suggested that over half of folk questioned in the United Kingdom believe that they always get it right when it comes to gift giving. Actually, 42% also admits to re-gifting an unwanted present that they'd received to someone else. Now, to address some of the challenges relating to this, we're delighted to welcome Ace Retail Champion and all-round wonderful soul. She is the retail champion. She's the author of How to Sell to Retail, the UK's leading retail expert. It's Claire Bailey. How are you, Claire?
Hi, I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Okay, so this whole line that as we head towards, as I say, the festive season, people in the East Midlands buying an average of 18 gifts at Christmas, getting the right thing for the right person, I mean, it's a challenge, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's why some 42% of us in our area are admitting to re-gift these unwanted presents, which means, basically, receiving them, faking a smile, saying thank you so very much, and then putting it away in cupboard and recycling it next year to somebody else, perhaps. And the sad fact is, most of us think we've got the presents right. So on the one hand, we're believing all these people who are saying to us, oh, isn't it wonderful? And yet in the back of our mind, we know that we're probably the sort of person that's also going to recycle it. So it amuses me that we're hiding the fact that we're not getting the right presents. And yet only 35% of us are willing to write a Christmas list to help people get the right thing.
Well, our colleagues in the States obviously about to celebrate Thanksgiving. A similar thing occurs there as well, I presume, in terms of coordinating aspects and so on. It's also one of the most poignant sort of things and a rather sad sort of aspect that so many people actually go on eBay almost on Christmas Day to actually start getting re-gifting packages put together. So what is the solution? Is it planning, Claire? Is it a case of getting one's things together? Is it a case of making use of techniques like Amazon to use the gift finder for the benefit of all?
Well, yeah, it's all of those things. I mean, obviously, Amazon commissioned this research and it's led them to launch the amazon.co.uk/Christmas page, which is a really clever tool to help filter out all the nonsense and get you down to a much better shortlist of presents. So you go on there, you choose, like, who is it for? Auntie, mum, so on. Is it a teenager? Is it an older person? And then you can start saying, well, they're interested in this and that and the other. And instead of having this overwhelming amount of choice, oh, and you can also filter by budget, which is very important when you're buying that many gifts. So you've got this overwhelming choice filtered right down to the kind of products that are most suitable for that type of person, that age range, those interests, and at a budget that you can afford. And I think things like that really are going to help reduce the number of awkward moments where you have to fake that smile, reduce the amount of re-gifting. At the end of the day, we aren't giving somebody something with the expectation they give it away. We want them to love it. So this is going to help everyone. But also listen to them, plan ahead, get started as soon as possible. We've got Black Friday coming up, so there'll be loads of deals and discounts in the shops and online. So, I mean, it's all of those things. Package it up together, write yourself a list and get cracking.
You make it sound so easy, Claire. Let's take a case in point. Let's say, hypothetically, we have an Ace, a radio producer who has a wonderful dog called Bean. He's a dachshund. What are you going to purchase Bean for Christmas? What's the strategy?
Well, you put in the category of pet on your gift finder and hopefully it'll help you filter down to the kind of things that your dog's going to really like. But you know what? Dogs aren't so well known for re-gifting, so I'd be more concerned about the people.
Well, this is it, Claire. This is the crucial scenario.
Dogs are genuinely grateful for everything.
Amazon.co.uk presumably is the website to go to. Is there anything else that you'd recommend in terms of... I mean, I'd certainly put a plug in for retailchampion.co.uk, but that's a general thing, Claire.
Well, and also it is a Lincolnshire-based business.
Exactly,
one, so.
Exactly. These are the critical things.
Thank you very much.
And have you had a recently interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
My pleasure.
Good. We will hopefully speak again. Claire Bailey, many thanks indeed. Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Claire Bailey. Clearly doing her own thing and just exciting beyond belief. Michael, it's fair to say that this is probably the most exciting Inspired on Air we've had for quite some time. Indeed, probably in the history of Inspired on Air have we actually had this level of interaction with our studio audience. I don't think they can hear a word we're saying, but that's all good. You know, it's listening back. It's wondrous.
Are you still there? Are you still there? Yes.
Yes.
It's like, I'm trying to think of the word, interactive engineering, constructive engineering, exactly. Interactivity, exactly. Radio.
Genuine heavy metal.
Including Sparks, which I wish our listeners could have seen.
They were a great band of the 70s and 80s. You've got to beat the clock. Whilst we're talking about things that are coming up, in Betwixt Times, don't forget, it's the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair at the Lincolnshire Showground on the 2nd and 3rd of December. Same days, actually, as For the Love of Sci-Fi at Manchester. It's a tough call. Where do we go? But anyway, the Lincolnshire Food and Gift Fair is the perfect place to find gifts for loved ones to fill stockings and stomachs with all sorts of goodies on offer to start your Christmas the right way. And you've been having a look, Michael, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre programme and brochure, and I know yes. that Julie Ellaby would be pleased for you to have Michael's selection. So what would it be?
Well, I'm still, because I mentioned it last time, I think, the Strange Case of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde on Thursday the 23rd looks really interesting, which is a kind of a thrilling adaptation of Rob Louis Stevenson's dark psychological fantasy.
Exactly, you mentioned it before.
And that would be quite interesting, I think, for quite a few of our students as well as everybody else.
We would encourage to see that. Speaking of students, I have a little track now which we can't play all 9 minutes, 5 seconds of Freebird, but I think you're looking for Freebird to actually come through, really.
I am.
Well, hopefully this is the right. I mean, just this is the right for you. It's Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird. Just as it works. See, even the construction workers have quieted down now because they recognise musical genius when they hear it. So, yeah. Relax. Oh, perhaps not. Anyway, rhythm is a dancer.
Thank you.
Well, we may have a green and pleasant land, but clearly there are issues in the 21st century when it comes to reducing pollution and so on, and getting the balance right, because certainly for folk who are living in rural communities, a blanket diesel ban, which of course is being proposed in terms of the government's recent air quality plan, could well address a whole number of challenges. With 3.5 million people in the UK taking the bus to work every day, it's time to actually bring on board former government transport advisor Professor David Begg to actually address some of these key issues with respect to how people can still get to work via the bus, how practical transport alternatives are vital, and other matters. How are you, David?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
Good. Okay, well, speaking of somebody who actually took the car in to work this morning, did my usual 10.5 mile drive from a rural zone and so on, if I'd waited for the bus, it would have taken an awful lot longer and would not have been really useful at all from that point of view. I don't drive a diesel car, I drive a petrol car, but is it a case of getting this challenge right? Because, as we said, we need to ensure that air quality improves, but at the same time, if we're talking about rural areas, we could well have a disastrous impact through ill-thought-out legislation.
I mean, that's right. I mean, you know, most people travel by car because it's convenient and it's quicker, but there's an awful lot of people in this country that don't have access to a car and completely dependent on a bus. And the danger is that if urban areas implement clean air zones and ban all diesel vehicles, then 98% of the bus fleet is diesel just now, and it's just physically impossible to convert them all in a couple of years. So the consequence could be a reduction of at least 80% in the level of bus service, which would just completely marginalise so many people and would lead to a big increase in social exclusion.
And, of course, you might well argue, oh, well, why don't they just move into the cities once again? And that's not really a solution, is it? Because you can't expect folk to necessarily actually shift along those kind of lines. Equally, working from home, we're talking about rural areas, there's an awful lot of promises made about ensuring that internet access becomes a lot simpler and so on. But these are challenges that haven't been put forward. I mean, I think it really joined-up thinking, David, seems to be missing in this particular perspective.
We do, and just to make sure that there isn't unintended consequences, because it is very important that we tackle the public health emergency as a result of poor air quality. You know, for 40,000 premature deaths a year in the UK because of poor air quality is just unacceptable. So we have to tackle that. We have to move towards zero emission vehicles. It's what's our route map to getting there, and how do we ensure that by effectively banning buses, we don't lead to a lot more cars on the road, more pollution, more congestion. The slower vehicles go, the higher the level of pollution as well. So it's all of these unintended consequences that we just have to guard against.
Fortunately, there might be a little smidgen of light at the end of the tunnel, all thanks to the Euro 6 bus. Would you like to share with us a little bit about this possible way in which a new generation of clean British diesel buses could impact positively in terms of these challenges?
I mean, if I was carrying out this interview a year ago, I would have subscribed to the view that we should ban all diesel vehicles. But then when I looked into the research on the latest Euro 6 diesel bus, there's been a dramatic transformational change in the pollution that comes out of that vehicle. It's a 95% improvement in the pollution levels. And what amazed me was that if you think of the size of a double-deck bus, a new diesel double-deck bus produces less emissions than a new diesel car. And if you think the bus can carry 20 times as many people than the diesel car. So while the route map is towards zero-emission vehicles, these Euro 6 buses will buy us time to make sure that we don't have to ban all diesel vehicles in our urban conurbations.
I was quite interested, David, in the notion of retrofitting and actually fitting older bus engines with exhaust cleanup technology, which seems to be quite a nice middle ground to take as well, especially allowing for the fact that local councils might be a little reticent to say, we can't afford new buses, what can we do?
That's correct. It used to be called catalytic converters, and it's after treatment for the buses. So you can retrofit a diesel bus, and you can bring it up to clean air Euro 6 standard, and it would cost about £15,000 per vehicle. which is manageable. And the government have got a fund, probably not enough money in it, to allow bus operators to convert their vehicles to the latest emission standards. And if you're looking for value for money, you get 15 times more value for taxpayers' money putting money into a bus retrofit scheme than you do into putting into a car diesel replacement scheme.
Is there a risk, given the clearly ongoing developments vis-a-vis Brexit, that this could get left by the sidelines and effectively just put to one side? People say, oh, it's all right, we don't have to worry about legislation for clean air now.
Well, if you believe the Environment Secretary, Michael Gove, he doesn't want to lower any of our environmental standards, but we don't have any transparency yet on what the Brexit deal looks like. So there are some concerns that we might not match the rigorous European standards. And the one point I'd make here about European standards on emissions is that the car manufacturers like Volkswagen have got so much to learn from the bus manufacturers, because the car manufacturers, they've got laboratory tests, which we know have been rigged. And we know that sometimes the emissions are 14 times higher than the car manufacturers claim. But for the bus manufacturers, it's on-the-road testing. It's rigorous, and we can have complete confidence in it. So there's a lot the car manufacturers can learn from the bus manufacturers.
And presumably similar technology will be applied to driverless buses, assuming they don't have incidents like they had in Las Vegas earlier this week.
That's the future, isn't it?
Well, we're not too far away from it, David. That's why I thought I'd just mention it. It could be an interesting line entirely on that basis.
It's the future. Whether I live long enough to see it, I don't know.
Well, let's stay with the now. Let's stay with the present. Where can people go to find out further details about the Euro 6 buses and, indeed, what they could possibly do to support ways forward to ensure that, actually, we don't actually insist on simply banning all diesel buses and there are solutions to go for?
If they want to see full research on this, they can go to the Greener Journeys. Just Google Greener Journeys, go to the website, you'll find all the information there, or from my own company, Transport Times. Google Transport Times and you can see the research that we've produced on both these websites.
Professor David Begg, Chief Executive of Transport Times and indeed a Visiting Professor in Transport at Plymouth University. Many thanks indeed.
Thank you.
Excellent. What a wonderful way of actually bringing the whole thing together on Inspired On Air, which has been, I suppose, a little bit eclectic today, Michael. Really,
one of the most exciting in some ways because of external circumstances, yes.
Arranging our coverage, obviously, the Linkage and Food and Gift Fair, the Christmas shows and the winter shows that are being faced with two of them, of course, at the Lincoln Performing Arts Centre. And a reminder, of course, the New Moon celebration this coming Saturday, the 18th of November, between 3.30 and 6.30pm at the Minerva Building at the University of Lincoln. You can attend there. You can also give £5 and raise funds for the Children's Brain Tumour Research Centre by texting CBTR48... and text £5 to 70070. So text CBTR48, £5 to 70070. It's like License to Kill, really. 7007. That's it then. We thank Professor David Begg. We certainly thank Claire, our consumer specialist and business specialist about regifting. And of course, DJ Seb Fontaine, all about cream. Nothing like an ointment. The actual hip-hop sound of the 1990s and how we can celebrate that all over again. And as we head off with the cars, we will say, if you're listening to Siren Radio, and presumably you are, otherwise you wouldn't be hearing my words at this particular moment in time, following Inspired On Air, it sounds like animals. And then it sounds like homelessness. Yes, It Sounds Like is back with a vengeance, with our media people producing some amazingly awesome, wonderful work. And that's It Sounds Like Animals, and It Sounds Like Homelessness. It sounds like ... That just leaves us to actually say one last farewell phrase then for the benefit of the Inspired On Air list before we're back for the third week in December, which is obviously our festive celebration one. So, a one, a two, a three... Be inspired.
wasting all my time. 'Cause when you're standing oh so near, I kinda lose my mind. It's not the perfume that you wear, it's not the ribbons in your hair.
Talking in your sleep.